Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Mental Golf Show, where we discuss all things golf psychology to help avid golfers improve their game. As always, I'm your host, Josh Nichols. I'm a golf psychology coach, and I've been playing competitive amateur golf for over 20 years. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about how to get confidence and trust and commitment and get rid of the yips, all without actually trying to get rid of them. My hope is that you'll leave this episode with some better knowledge of how to navigate the obstacles and failures that golf constantly throws at us, and kind of in a counterintuitive way. But before we get into this episode, I want to tell you about our sponsor, the Divot Board. The Divot Board is the game-changing golf training aid designed to elevate your swing and revolutionize your game. Right off the top, I personally own a Divot Board. It's easily one of my favorite training aids that I've ever used, and I'm very picky for my training aids. I've got one putting mirror that I use. That's like the only other thing I have. Well, I've got an alignment rod, if you consider that a training aid. I guess it is. But I'm super picky about my training aids, so I really believe that this is saying a lot. And the best thing about the Divot Board is the instant feedback that you get. When you hit a shot, you get to immediately see where your club struck the ground relative to the ball. You get to see your club path and whether the face was open, closed, or square. It's really cool. There's like a yellow circle right in the middle of the divot board. That's where you put your golf ball. And when you hit it and you look down, you can see where the divot started in relation to that yellow circle, which is where your golf ball was. So you can see if you made contact a little bit behind the yellow dot, which is obviously a fat shot, really far, or the club face was open, or maybe you hit it off the toe or the heel, hopefully not too far off the heel. But it's got that really, really good instant feedback that honestly a real divot doesn't really give you, because you can't really see where the ball was before you hit it off of grass. So it's just a really cool way to visualize that. So what's cool about this instant feedback is it allows you to make errors and instantly see the error that you made. And on a neurological level, making errors is extremely important, because your brain takes that feedback and makes instant corrections to help you adapt your motion to the motion that you want. And the instant error feedback of the divot board has got to be one of the best tools ever made for this. So take it from me. The divot board is really, really awesome. It feels like hitting shots on actual driving range grass. And I can do it in my backyard on my lunch breaks. So that's the best part about it. So you can get a divot board at a 10% discount by going to divotboard.com/mentalgolfshow and use the discount code mentalgolf10 at checkout to get 10% off your purchase. I'll have the link in the show notes of this episode. So many thanks to Divot Board for partnering with the Mental Golf Show. All right, let's learn the psychology of making changes in our golf games and handling the difficulties and obstacles of golf in a more helpful way. Okay, last week we talked about expectations and how having high expectations sets you up for failure, because you create a mental scenario where the only acceptable outcome is good golf, which leads to more perfectionism and therefore a fear of imperfect golf, which naturally leads to more tension and ultimately worse golf. So expecting and accepting bad golf is actually the more helpful way to think, which is a very backwards way to think in comparison to all the positivity and self-belief and good self-talk we hear all the time. So this week, I want to go through some other counterintuitive mentalities, and I call them the backwards laws of golf. Now, I didn't come up with this title. It's like way too cool of a title for me to come up with. This is actually a term I first heard from an author and YouTube video creator named Mark Manson. You've heard me talk about him before. He's written a couple really good books that I like a lot. I recommend you check them out. Again, his name is Mark Manson. but I don't think he came up with the title either. But he did do a great YouTube video on the concept titled How to Get What You Want by Letting Go. And I'll post a link to the video in the show notes. It's like 9 minutes. It's really good. I recommend you watching it. But in it, he has a really good explanation of the backwards law. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but he says that in almost all of life, more effort equals more results. If you spend more time in the car, you get further down the road. You spend more time reading, you finish more books. You put more effort into running, you run more miles. But then the next phase are the things in life that have diminishing returns. Things like improving at different skills. For instance, 1 hour of practicing your swing is most likely better than 0 hours of practicing your swing. 2 hours is usually better than 1 hour, but it isn't necessarily twice as good as 1 hour. And 3 hours might be a little better, but the amount of reward you get for the increased effort gets lower and lower the more effort you put in it. Now, this is the law of diminishing returns. You probably don't need to hear me explain it, but maybe if you did, maybe that helps explain it a little bit. But even with that diminishing curve, generally speaking, the more effort you put in, the more reward you get out. This is true for almost everything in life, every external thing, that is. Now, Manson says, and again, I'm paraphrasing his concept, for the things that exist in our minds, there is an inverted curve. It's like a diminishing curve, but it's upside down. Now, I know that's hard for me to imagine too, and he explained it really cool, but here's essentially what he means. The inverted curve means that the more effort you put into something, the more you will fail to get it. More effort equals less reward, not more. He gives some examples of the inverted curve, and maybe you can relate to some of these. The more you pursue happiness, the further away you get from it. The more you try to feel confident, the more you question yourself and feel insecure. The more you wish to be loved, the more your neediness repels people around you. The need to be free from constraints is itself a constraint. When we want and chase after these things, when we constantly need these things, we remind ourselves that we don't have them, which pushes us further from the thing that we were chasing in the first place. Now, maybe this is starting to make sense, but let's bring it closer to home by applying it to none other than golf. So many of the things we do in golf reward more effort. Like I said earlier, the more effort you put into your swing, the more reward you get out, generally speaking. Even if it's a diminishing amount of reward, you still almost always get more reward for more effort. You set aside more time to play, you get to play more holes. You work more on your putting, you get better at least some amount at putting. And if you don't get better the more effort you put in, then that's probably a whole different conversation. And honestly, maybe you need to check out the custom weekly practice plan that I can build for you. If that interests you, there's a link in the show notes, but I digress. The really important thing about what we do in golf is that everything we do is in some way interpreted through our minds. It's internal. Even though it's an external thing, it's still on some level an internal thing. So the inverted curve almost always comes into play. All right, now what do I mean by this? When we need our swing to be good, we constantly remind ourselves that our swing isn't good enough, and therefore more mental strain towards perfection takes us further from getting that perfection, not closer. Or let's take confidence in our golf games, for example. We think that playing better will make us more confident, so we try to force good golf in order to feel more confident. But every time we don't play well, we're reminded that we still aren't confident. So we try even harder and put even more effort into being more confident. So when we inevitably don't get the good golf we're trying so hard to get, we're reminded in an even harsher way that we're even less confident. And this is a spiral that ultimately ends in a slump. And hopefully not, but you might be able to relate to that. I know I can relate to this concept very, very closely. So let's bring it to another example that I know a lot of you struggle with, and I have too to some degree, the yips. When you have the yips, everything in you wants to be rid of the yips. So you try everything. You change your grip, you change your club, you change your technique, you chew gum, you hum a song, you do math problems, you look at the hole, you take 2 weeks off, then try again, you switch to lefty, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I have seen and heard it all. Every time you try something new, it might work for just a little bit, but ultimately you end up still fighting the yips, and maybe even worse and more dug in than you were before. And here's the thing about trying new thing after new thing. It gets less and less effective every time you try something new. You may have heard of or experienced something called drug tolerance. Drug tolerance is when you need more and more of that drug to get the same effect. This process is basically what leads to addiction in a lot of cases. So in a way, the repeated trying of new fixes for the yips is essentially creating a sort of addiction where you need more and more and a higher frequency of fixes to cope with the yips. So because the yips are almost completely a psychological thing, changing physical things rarely works. And because the yips are psychological, the inverted curve comes into play. The more effort you put in, the more you're reminded how bad your yips are and how long you've been trying to do this and how debilitating it is. A lot of golfers contemplate or end up fully quitting the game because of this. It's a very sad thing, genuinely, truly sad. But if the inverted curve says that the more you try to get rid of the yips, the worse your yips will get, then the backwards law says the less you try to get rid of the yips, the better your yips will get. The less you try to be confident, the more confident you will get. The less you need your swing to be perfect, the better your swing will get. Now, how does this work? You mean if I try not to be confident, I'll get more confident? Or if I try not to fix my yips, they'll magically go away? Yes and no. So let me explain. When I say trying not to be confident, what I mean is finding confidence not in needing things to go the way you need them to go in order to be confident, but rather finding your confidence in being okay with things not going according to plan. So if by chasing confidence you get further from confidence, then by being okay not being confident is the way to truly be confident. So I know I'm just kind of spewing words right now, but maybe this question can bring it home. And I've asked this question on the podcast before. Which one sounds like stronger confidence? There's two options here. One, I'm confident when everything is going well and according to plan. Or two, I can handle it even when things are going poorly and chaotically. Now, the first one is a fragile source of confidence built on needing things to go well. And what if they don't go well? Then your confidence comes crashing down. By chasing the things you need in order to be confident, you make it harder to be confident. Every time you fail is a reminder about how unconfident you actually are. Now, the second one is much stronger because you aren't chasing and needing good results in order to feel good. Because you're more okay with things going poorly and you embrace failure, and most importantly, you're okay not feeling confident, then you never have that reminder of how unconfident you are. Your confidence slowly builds by seeing yourself handle tough things over and over again, to where you can eventually say with authenticity, this can go however it's going to go, and I'll be okay. So that's confidence. And this same backwards law applies to almost all of the mental game issues that we face. Things like trust or commitment or strategy or moving on from bad shots or pressure and nerves. When you need to feel 100% and comfortable and even keeled, the worse you'll feel because you will rarely, if ever, feel fully good and calm and comfortable. And each time you don't feel 100% is a reminder of how not 100% you actually are. So by trying to make it better, it gets worse and worse over time. And for the yips, the more you try to get rid of the yips, the worse they get. But the less you try to get rid of the yips, the better they get. So how do you try less to get rid of the yips? By fully accepting the existence of your yips, and by fully accepting the bad shots and the bad feelings that come with the yips. Yips, at their most basic level, are essentially a fear response. And they might be a really dramatic fear response, or they might not be that dramatic for you. It kind of lives on a spectrum. But maybe that fear response is fear of a bad shot, or fear of a bad feeling, like embarrassment or shame or losing. Acceptance makes your yips better over time because it diminishes how scary those fears are. When you can more credibly say, I'm going to hit this where I'll hit it, and feel how I'm going to feel, good or bad, and I'll ultimately be okay, then you become much less afraid of those things. So the fear response in the form of a yip becomes slightly less likely over time, and maybe slightly less intense over time. And by showing yourself that you're okay with bad shots and bad feelings, it becomes even less threatening. Instead of fighting your yips, you accept your yips as they are. You go against your instincts to try harder, and instead, you let things go. Now, this is extremely difficult. Everything in us wants to do or try or make or force, especially when the emotions of an important shot or round of golf are higher. These emotions can keep us in that instinctual place of habitually doing and trying and making and forcing. So, as is the solution to so many of the things we talk about on this podcast, you need to be more mindfully aware of what you're experiencing. The way to not habitually act on instinct and be able to let things go is by mindfully seeing your instincts and urges and intentionally letting those urges and impulses pass without acting on them. Mindful awareness of your instincts, acceptance of how you feel, then hit the shot anyway. This takes training and practice, but it can be learned. Slowly over time, you can show yourself that impulses don't have to be acted on. You can let things go. You can try less. All right, everyone. Hope you learned a thing or two about the backwards nature of working on your mind. Some counterintuitive stuff in here that I definitely haven't always known or acted on myself. I would have given right into, you need to try to be more confident. You need to try to get rid of your yips. You need to do this, do that, force this, make that. So this is something that I've had to kind of learn the hard way and through a lot of reading and research and stuff. So I hope you're able to glean some of that. And I give you a little bit of a shortcut to that information. And if you like this episode, you'd probably also like another episode of The Mental Golf Show titled Golf Thought Thursday, Does Positive Self-Talk Work? We talk about a lot of these same themes, how being overly positive actually makes negativity even stronger. That was released back on October 5th, 2023. So go check that one out if you're interested. And something cool in my golf life, I'm going for a Titleist iron fitting this weekend. As of this recording, which, as you can imagine, I'm extremely excited about. I'm borderline giddy. I've had the same irons in my golf bag for about 12 years, and those suckers are pretty worn out at this point. But I want to do an episode on that and how getting the right equipment can have a huge impact on your psychology while you're playing. So maybe that'll be next week's or the near future. So be on the lookout for that episode. And as I always mention at the end of these episodes, what you've heard isn't therapy. There's been some kind of therapy-related language in this episode, but I'm not a therapist, and this is not therapy. It's meant for information and entertainment purposes only. If you feel like you need personal help on some deeper things that you're going through, I encourage you to go talk to a licensed professional. And if you have any questions or comments about these topics or working with me one-on-one on your golf psychology, feel free to send an email to josh@joshnicholsgolf.com, or you can head to my website, joshnicholsgolf.com, or you can find me on Twitter/X and Instagram @joshlukenichols. That's probably where I'll post some things about this Titleist iron fitting. I've got some cool video ideas in my head. So hang out there and look for that stuff. I'd also like to point you to the Mental Game Assessment. It's a free 15-minute questionnaire that will give you your mental strengths and areas for improvement. It's the same exact resource that I use with my one-on-one golf psychology coaching clients. So it's a really, really good resource, and it's free. So I recommend you go checking that out. And I mentioned in this episode that I build practice plans. If you'd like to learn more about getting your custom weekly practice plan, there'll be a link in the show notes. So if you're interested in the Mental Game Assessment or anything else, the link to that Mark Manson video, all the links will be in the show notes below the episode in your podcast player. All right, thanks again for listening to The Mental Golf Show. Whether you're new here or you've been here since day one, I really appreciate the community that you have been a part of building. If you've learned something on this episode, go subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can leave us a review of up to 5 stars if you feel that we've earned it. And most of all, thank you for your interest in golf psychology. I'm Josh Nichols, and I'll catch you guys next time.